Concerns about local and state pension systems have been a national issue. The city of Phoenix recently had conflict among its council members, among what should be done to keep the system solvent. A new study by the nonpartisan Grand Canyon Institute says Arizona's state pension system is on solid ground. The study is called Arizona Pensions, On Track to Financial Sustainability with Retirement Security. Its author, Dr. Dave Wells, joins me in studio. Dave, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This conclusion, I would think, would surprise a lot of people. How did you arrive at it?
Well, you have to keep in mind that pensions are in the game for the long haul, for a long time. And so when somebody's entering a pension system, you're putting a dollar in, and you're not going to be taking that dollar out for maybe 35 years. Our pensions are now following the best practices of the National Retirement Security Institute. And we're also made the key changes in legislation over the last 10 years or other changes that are really going to save taxpayer money over the long haul. And that's why we're in really good shape, looking in the long future.
What are some of the best practices we should know about?
Well, one is the thing, Arizona has always done a good job of paying what they're supposed to pay. There are a lot of states that when money gets tight, one of the things they cut off is they don't pay as much as they're supposed to. And Arizona has always been very fiscally responsible about that. Now, despite what you hear about Phoenix, that's not what happens everywhere else here. As anti-spiking is a key aspect of our pension systems. So it only includes what your pay is. It doesn't include unused vacation or unused sick pay. Other things is they're now using a proper, and ASRS always did this, but the public safety personnel retirement system had too high of an assumed rate of return, but they assume good, proper rates of return. And lastly, one of the key things they do is they have proper kind of permanent benefit increases to adjust for inflation. ASRS had that in place pretty well, but there was a problem with the formula for the police and the firefighters that sort of made that a little bit more lucrative than it should be for the pension fund's health. And they fixed that in 2011.
When you talk about the last decade or so, what are some other pieces of legislation that have made the system a little bit better?
Well, it's not so much always legislation. It's always some administrative changes, and I haven't memorized all the sources of it. But just to give you an idea, the Arizona State Retirement System, which is the state's largest, it has about 200,000 active members, and they estimate their actuary estimates over the next 30 years that all these changes that they've had over the last 10 years will lower the contribution rate by 4%, which is pretty significant because you're thinking about, you know, what contribution rates are right now, which might be in the neighborhood of, say, 22%. That's, you know, knocking it down to 18 is just by those changes itself, beyond the fact that we'll be paying back any of the unfunded liability over that time as well.
What made you want to do this study? Even starting out, when we began the interview, I was thinking to myself, okay, people's perception is going to be that the sky is falling, whatnot. Is that one of the challenges as a researcher to say, let me see if what people are saying and what we're hearing in public is right?
Yeah, one of the things the Grand Canyon Institute wants to do is have economics help drive policy discussions, not have it totally be about ideology. And in the case of pensions, they're pretty complex, trying to understand how they work. They're very simple if you're in a pension. It's much better than a 401k plan where you have to be, you're not really sure if you got enough money and all these uncertainties. If you're in a pension system, you have a lot of security. You understand what your pension's going to be. But if you understand how the pensions themselves work, that's pretty complicated. But we really wanted to delve into that because it's an important policy issue that Arizona is being considering right now.
Well, you mentioned the 401k. Based on your report, you're not a fan of the possibility of some modifications at the state legislature. Why is the 401k a bad idea?
Well, generally, they cost more. And one of the key things about a 401k plan, and there have been studies that look essentially from 1988 through 2010, combining a couple of studies, and they generally show that pensions get you about 1% more, or a little bit less than 1% more per year, which doesn't sound like a big difference, but it compounds. And so if I talk about that dollar you put in when you're, say, you're 30 and you pull it out when you're 65, that 1% difference actually will turn out to be like at least a third more money that you'll have in the pension. And part of that has to do with that pensions are able to better diversify their portfolios. They can get into private equities and things that 401ks don't do as well at. And the other thing that pensions have is they have much lower per member costs because 401ks have a lot more cost per member. And those things eat away at your gains. And to say those over the long term, those really affect the net result of the pensions. So for both taxpayers and retirees, pensions are a better deal.
How closely are you watching what the legislature might do this session as it relates to pensions?
Well, when watching it, I know that John Kavanaugh in the House has an HCR that hasn't had a hearing yet about potentially enabling the state to lower pensions. And that seems to be the most significant one so far. The other one to limit the maximum amount of money that could qualify for a pension. It seems it's a nominal change because by the time it actually would take place, because it would only affect new retirees. And so by the time when you take into effect inflation, it's not, they're going to have to fix that by the time it would actually have an impact in 20 or 30 years.
I want to come back to perception, Dave, again. This feeling that there are folks who are at the higher end of the pension system who are public servants who are taking too much from the trough, is that fact-based?
Well, there are people like that, and we've seen reports about them. They make really good news stories, but they're only if said that we have this great metaphor in the paper about Sun Devil Stadium, which holds about 72,000 people, and you think, well, gosh, how many of those people get six-figure pensions? Well, it's 181 out of about 72,000, so it's very small number of people that have these very lucrative pensions, and so most people get pretty modest ones. The average pension in the Arizona State retirement system is about $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Now, in the public safety personnel retirement system, that's your police and firefighters, the average pension is about $50,000 a year. And you might say, well, that sounds like it's a lot more. But first of all, most of the people in that system don't qualify for Social Security. So the employer's not paying in for that, and they're not paying in for that. And if they were hired before 86, which includes pretty much everybody who's retired now, as well as a lot of new retirees coming in, they also don't qualify for Medicare. So they're going to be responsible for their own health care costs. And so when you take those costs into consideration, it's not as lucrative as it was. And I say that's it's a fairly reasonable thing to provide people for the kind of duties that they do over their careers.
And Dave, how does the relative strength of the pension system align with concerns about retirement security costs? Are those interspersed, intertwined?
The retirement costs have gone up quite a bit, but they've stabilized. And one of the key things was we're trying, with the reforms that have taken place, should make those costs essentially stabilize and go down over the long term. I mean, we identified some things that that could have been done differently in the past. If we go back to the late 90s, everybody thought we had too much money in our pensions. And one of the things that we did, unfortunately, at that time is we would reduce the contribution rates because we thought we had too much money in the pensions. And if we had not done that, we recommend that was a bad idea, or we say that's a bad idea, but we can't fix it, but we can fix it going forward. But because if we had, we would have about 24% more assets in the Arizona State retirement system, and we'd have about 15% more assets in the public safety personnel retirement system. And those would significantly have reduced the cost that people have now.
Dave, finally, I know it's hard to speculate. I'm not sure you talked about this in the report, but we just came out of one of the deepest recessions the country's ever seen, and perhaps that's made people even more aware of what's going on with the pension systems. Should we be concerned about the next recession and how people will perceive the pension? Are there certain changes we should make or certain protections we should put in just in case, or we expect some sort of recession at some point?
Well, the two financial crises we just had were pretty unprecedented. I mean, we had this dot-com bubble at the early 2000s, and then we had this major financial crisis, 2008, 2009. And before that, we had more than two decades of solid pension performance. And so we shouldn't let the short-term discolor the long-term. But one of the things that Arizona State retirement systems provide that a lot of states don't do is a good cost sharing. So, for instance, in the Arizona State retirement system, half the money goes in from employees and half the money goes into employers. And one of the changes that's taken place with the legislation in 2011 is the cost sharing is improved in the other system. So the public safety personnel retirement system, about one-third of the cost is now being brought in by employees and two-thirds by employers. And the other public safety, which are the correctional officers retirement plan, is now moving more to a 50-50 kind of split. And so if costs were to go up, the idea is that they're going to be shared. And that's a key part of it. Before, with the police and firefighters, the police and firefighters paid a fixed 7.65%, and that stayed the same regardless of what was going on. So the employer paid it varied entirely for the employer. So it was really low in 2000, and it's moved really high now. And now it's a much better sharing that we've got in place.
Dr. Dave Wells of the Grand Canyon Institute. Dave, thanks.
Thank you.
State Representative John Kavanaugh, Republican from Fountain Hills, is calling for some changes to Arizona's pension system, and he joins me now from the state capitol. Representative Kavanaugh, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to have you with us. I just talked with researcher Dave Wells. I think you might have heard part of it. Says the state pension system is in good shape, especially compared with much of the rest of the country. Are you hearing and seeing different things than that?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the Arizona pension system, when compared to the rest of the country, is in good shape, but that's very relative. The problem that we have is that pensions across the country are basket cases. Currently, our best performing system is the Arizona State Retirement System, which is most state employees. In fact, there's about 542,000 members active and retired. It's funded at 75.9%. Not a particularly great number, not, you know, on life support, but the public safety program is funded at only 57%. That's a big problem. The corrections officer retirement fund, 66%. That's a big problem. The elected officials, 55%. So three of our four are in dire financial straits. And we've enacted reforms over the years, but some of those reforms were challenged in court because there's a constitutional amendment that says we can't diminish the benefits. So the reforms that we tried to put through may wind up being undone by the courts, and here we have these systems that are in desperate straits. Ultimately, because of the constitutional requirement that we can't diminish them, the taxpayers have to pay the difference. And the problem with that, of course, is that the taxpayers are sitting there with decimated 401ks, wondering why they have to pay for the, you know, very generous pensions of public employees.
But that would also beg the question, as some say, that the 401ks, though not especially risky, and I want to say that word, are not quite as reliable as a normal pension plan. Are you an advocate for making the 401k even more common among state employees?
No, actually, I'm one of the members down here. I'm one of the few Republicans who actually believe that a defined benefit pension plan, which is what we have, which is you're guaranteed the pension based on certain calculations, is a good concept, mainly because either because of horrible financial downturns or because of poor investment strategies or because of a lack of discipline, people with 401ks aren't able to provide for their retirement. And I know that that if you have a lot of people in that situation, then they're going to come to the government and they're going to ask for the government to step in and give them extra Social Security or some other program. So in the end, because they didn't save or didn't get enough, you know, everybody else is on the hook. So defined benefit pension solved that problem. But the taxpayers will not tolerate defined benefit pensions when they're grossly underfunded, when people aren't paying enough into the funds, and when they read about horrible abuses, you know, like some assistant manager in Phoenix walking away with a pension over a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Certainly, that's a headline grabber, no question. Are you focused on people who are collecting those six-figure pensions? Because even from talking to Dave Wells, there are not many of them, but do you think that part of the system is being abused?
Absolutely. And I actually came up with an interesting solution, and I think it's going to have traction and go through the system. To prevent this ridiculous spiking, I have a bill which simply states, and this has to be prospective, we can't do it retroactively, but that from now on, Arizona pensions, state pensions, only provide you pensions on your first $150,000 worth of wages. So you, towards the end, want to spike it with cell phone allowances and everything else. Anything over $150,000 isn't part of your pension calculation. And that's one way to stop the spiking.
What sort of reaction have you gotten to your interesting idea?
I haven't heard too many people speak against it. And one reason is that we did the homework and we discovered that it's only about 7% of the employees who are in this category. Some of them are legitimate. You know, we do have a few very high-paid government employees to be competitive with, you know, the private sector for their skills. But some of them are spikers, too. And those that are actually, you know, deserve that and it's part of their base salary, nothing would preclude the government agency hiring them from sweetening the deal to be competitive with a secondary 401k. But for those that are spiking it, this will be a spike killer, which is why I put it into the bill form.
As we've talked about over and over again over the past several years, the deep recession affected how people feel about the economy, how they feel about their investments. What is the state owe workers who were told they'd have a reliable pension if they put in a certain number of years? I mean, we understand that when there's an economic downturn, we all should have to make sacrifices. But should those sacrifices be balanced out with the fact that people took jobs in good faith?
Well, again, my plan is only going to affect people who are spiking really high at this point. I think we can probably arrange to avoid, having to do drastic cuts to the pension system if we simply increase the contributions of both the employee and the employer. That's what you need to do to make this stable. And we also need to be able to get through certain reforms to stop COLAs. I mean, we tried to stop a COLA. We're being sued. You know, when these people were hired, they were never promised cost of living adjustments. The fact that we voted it in several years ago, really shouldn't make that etched in stone. That's simply not right.
State Representative John Kavanaugh of Fountain Hills. He's the House Appropriations Chair. Representative Kavanaugh, thanks again.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you.